Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Review the entire context of our Old Testament lesson, and you soon glean the fact that the Israelites are asking, is the Lord among us or not? Not why is the Lord making things so difficult, or what is the Lord up to, but is he even here? I believe most of us would readily admit that we scratch our heads hearing that the Israelites were grumbling and quarreling in our text. I mean, it was only three short chapters ago that we hear of the Lord releasing them from bondage and miraculously ushering them across the Red Sea on dry land before drowning the Egyptian army which pursued them. In chapter 15, we read that they were singing praises to God for that deliverance, which leaves just chapter 16, where God miraculously provides manna and quail for his hungry people. That brings us to our text, with people openly quarreling, is the Lord among us or not? Now, to be fair, a little bit of time has gone by. The people of Israel have camped in a couple of different places as they've moved away from the sea towards Horeb. The terrain is getting rougher and rockier, and water is difficult to find. They are in a strange land. And I would imagine that although the shoes and clothing are not wearing out, they are likely a little on the tired side, worried about the future, and obviously struggling with things in life, and they're thirsty. And as the anxiety mounts, they begin to grumble and to doubt. There's one other thing. The pillar of cloud has been leading them. So they really shouldn't be doubting the Lord's presence, should they? What this means then is that they willingly replace God's promises to them, denying the visible manifestation of God's presence, allowing their fears and worries to crowd out his promises, to overwhelm them. He inspired his prophet Nehemiah to write, because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the wilderness. By day, the pillar of cloud did not fail to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothing did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. Now, we must admit that when adversity comes along, the devil tempts us to think that God has indeed abandoned us or has somehow let us down. Thus, in truth, it was no different for them as they wander in the wilderness. Is the Lord among us or not? And what is most remarkable is that although the people themselves are faithless, God remains ever faithful. When Moses cries to the Lord, he reveals to Moses his continued plan of salvation in teaching his people, saying, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. Moses fulfills the commands of the Lord, strikes the rock where God stands, and water flows. The people drink and are satisfied because the Lord has once again provided for their needs just as he promised. And Moses calls the place Massah and Meribah, which means something like strife and contention, because the people quarreled with the Lord there, testing him by doubting his faithfulness. Now we can safely say that the Lord answered their question regarding his presence among them with a definite yes, by causing water to flow from the rock, thus keeping his people alive. And it is a miraculous provision, but more importantly, it once again demonstrates God's long-suffering, his long-suffering patience, and his loving care for his people, including you and me. But there's far more to it when you consider things Christocentrically, from the perspective of Christ. St. Paul was inspired by God to write to the church in Corinth, saying, for I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. Well, they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. So the Israelites, following their exodus from the Egyptian bondage, were under the cloud. They were led forth by the Lord, who was present with them. He permitted them to pass through the sea and baptized them, if you will, in the cloud and the sea. They ate what the Lord lovingly provided, and they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. The Lord Jesus was with His people even before His incarnation. And it was He who provided them with water to drink. He saved them, just as it was He who saved you. And like them, you too were once in bondage, not to Pharaoh, but to sin and death. The Lord brought you out of bondage and slavery by washing you with the waters of holy baptism, that is, drowning the old Adam within you, the enemy of your sinful flesh, by water and His Word, and raising you as a new creation, one of God's redeemed and holy people through faith in Christ Jesus. It is He who has continued to sustain you by feeding you with every word that proceeds from His mouth, as well as with His holy supper. For now you wander in this fallen world, filled with hardships and trials, because you have not yet been permitted to enter into the promised land of heaven. But through faith in Christ, you have been made an heir of that blessed estate of heaven. So as you wander, you do so, having heard God's promises to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is with you in the very midst of every trial and tribulation, and yet you must admit that you were made of the same sinful flesh and blood as those Israelites. So when you are faced with worry and adversity, afflicted with illness or injury, worried about loved ones or your future, the gospel's promises often sound like simple words and nothing more. Your baptism may appear to you as nothing more than a pouring of water in your past, and the Lord's Supper may seem like an empty ritual with food that does not satisfy. In the midst of such times, the devil tempts you to see your troubles as being far more real than the Lord's promises, than His presence and His deliverance through His means of grace. Fellow redeemed, such danger is very real. Because the devil would like you to believe that your afflictions are greater, more overwhelming than the Lord's promises and your inheritance. And if you believe yourself to be beyond God's help, then you might as well just forsake Him and do whatever brings you some comfort along the way. Fellow redeemed, this is a very dangerous temptation that leads to unbelief. This is why the Lord had St. Paul continue his epistle saying, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it was written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.' We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Rest assured, you will be tempted to doubt. And you will be tempted to ask the same thing that they did. Is God with us or not? You may think that your quarrel is with a pastor or another Christian who has shared God's word with you. But your quarrel is actually with the Lord, with the one who has redeemed you and numbered you among His people, promising you His faithfulness. So you remember this history of the people of Israel in the wilderness. And you remember that the Lord proved His presence and faithfulness by giving them water when Moses struck the rock. But more than that, remembering our Lord's word through Paul that the rock was Christ, He would have you remember Christ's work for you upon the cross. On Calvary, there were people who, in essence, demanded, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Except they used the words, "If you are the Christ, save yourself. Come down from the cross, and then we will believe. Thanks be to God, Jesus didn't come down from the cross. He could have. But he stayed in order to die for the sins of the world, that he might be the rock, the cornerstone on which the church is built. And as Moses struck the rock and water flowed, the soldier pierced Jesus' side and water and blood flowed. Or you are tempted to wonder if the Lord is with you. He says, "Here I am in the waters of holy baptism for you." He declares, "This cup is a new testament of my blood for the forgiveness of sins." Fellow redeemed, the Lord is with you. As near to you as his word and sacraments through which he forgives you your sins, including the sins of doubt, of doubting his promises, doubting his presence, doubting his faithfulness. He has come into your presence this day, once again, kind of gathering his people in the wilderness of this fallen world to remind you of his promises. He is with us always, even to the very end of the age. And know that he will use the hardships of the journey to strengthen your faith, causing you to look to him more and more. Now, you do not see him in the wilderness. There is no doubt that he is with you. His promises remind you that he is speaking his word to preserve you and to remind you of his promises. That for his sake, he has redeemed you. You were one of his forgiven children. On Wednesday, we took up the topic of the Lord's Prayer, kind of in a general perspective. And one of the elements that we were reminded of is the fact that the things that we suffer in this fallen world, God uses to encourage us to pray, to be in prayer. If things are going along well for us, we tend not to be in prayer. But by God, if he puts us on our back with illness or some other great hardship or calamity, we most certainly are going to the Lord in prayer. And he answers that prayer through his word, reminding you that he is preserving you, that he is with you, that he is using all things for your good. But you're in the midst of a battle that Satan desires or thinks he can win. But we know the truth. No matter the hardship, even if death befalls us, we are the ultimate victor because of Christ and what he has given us through faith. So never doubt that the Lord is with you. Never doubt that his promises are sure and certain. And never doubt that you are forgiven of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.